You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, it's Ken Davenport, and I wanted to say thank you for listening to the Producer's Perspective podcast. You're now listening to a special mini-series, the Producer's Perspective podcast, live from the pandemic. These are recordings directly from the Facebook Live series I started during the coronavirus pandemic, where every single night I interviewed a Broadway luminary and chatted about what they were going through, how they were dealing with it, and what they expected Broadway and theater to look like when it was all over. So join us for this very special episode of the Producer's Perspective podcast, live from the pandemic.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shana Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shana Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Let's bring on the man of the hour right now, Mr. Kenny Leon from Georgia. Welcome, Kenny.
Hello. How you doing, Davenport?
So you're a master director, Tony Award-winning director. What's one thing you've learned about directing that you're like, oh, I'm going to start doing more of this? Like that even you've learned in this process. What's one thing that you've learned?
Well, I had started doing it when I did American Son for Netflix last year with Kerry Washington. And then the year before that, I worked with Lauren Ridloff on Children of a Lesser God. And I had started listening to the voice of women more. Mm-hmm. Because I realized sometimes as a director, you think you have it all. You think it's right there. And even for me, I'm a liberal-minded thinking guy, but I realized that I just want to hear the woman's voice more, and I want to protect the sacredness of that voice. And I think that how we have treated women in our country for the last 100 years have been like, that's not cool. And even me who thought we were doing okay, I realized that I'm not. So I'm really interested in the women's voice. I'm really interested into how to integrate music more in the dramatic art form. And if you know the last two or three things I've done, Much Ado About Nothing, American Son, and A Soldier's Play, I use more music in those productions. So I'm more curious about how to integrate music into dramas.
You mentioned that you were reading or looking at things that you wanted to do in the future. And Eric Christopher Jones here asked you that same question. Is there a story, book, or script that you'd love to direct? Is there something you haven't done that you're dying to do right now?
100%. There's a lot of things. But for a long time, about 3 years ago, I did when the hurricane happened in Puerto Rico, I did a benefit with Broadway Across America. Involving the Captain Avengers cast, Scarlett Johansson and that whole team. And we did a one-night event, and we raised $500,000 in Reading Our Town. So when I was growing up, our time was just, oh, that's the white high school stage manager play. It has nothing in it for me. And then I discovered that if you diversify that cast racially and generationally, you can discover a beautiful play that is just one of the best plays ever put on paper. So for me, I would love to do Our Town for Broadway. And I would love to do it and casting it with some older actors and then some people of color and then integrate music there in a way that's different than it's been used in the past. Because the only thing that separates cultures is like, you know, what we do. Like, I love Jewish tradition. You know, I love their marriages. I love their weddings. I love and then I look at the traditions of a Southern Black guy. You know what I mean? Like, our funerals are long. Our dinners are long. So I look at those things that separate us. And usually you can just find a way to integrate music or integrate the specifics of that culture into one of these bigger plays to have a universal appeal for everybody. So I try to do that a little bit with Much Ado, and I try to do it with Soldier's Play. But I would love to do Our Town.
Are you working on this?
No, I'm not. I don't have, I think the rights are tied up somewhere, but I would love to do, Our Town.
I'm going to make some calls tomorrow just to find out a little bit more, or we'll talk, because that's a fascinating, that's a fantastic idea.
Fantastic. And, it's one of those things like, I just see it in my head so clearly. See, yeah.
Heidi Swartz-Casson asks here, do you have any favorite young writers or directors? Like, who are you looking at as the next generation? As like,
a lot of people. You know, I used to run a theater company called Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company in Atlanta. And the new artistic director, Jamil Jude, handed the theater off to him a year ago. He is incredible. Does an amazing job. The artistic director at Oregon Shakespeare Festival is really amazing. St. Louis Repertory has a wonderful new artistic director there as well. Camille Forbes, who used to be one of my associates, who's now running the Apollo Theater. That girl is fierce. She's a fierce director. And I would hire her if I was a producer in a minute.
So why? What's great? What makes someone a fierce director?
In directors that I respect, they have passion. They have passion, and they have a way of telling a story that engages you, even if you didn't want to go along for the ride. And most of the time, I'm excited by plays that have actors in the same story. Plays that don't work for me, productions that don't work for me, it feels like the actors are fighting for themselves. It feels like this actor's in that play, this actor's in this play. But when I go to see a play and you have 10 actors and all 10 of them tonally are in the same story, going up the same hill, that's totally directorial, you know? And it takes a lot to get 10 actors to go up a hill, the same way, with the same force, same tone. And you can see that. It's like, I stand in the back of theaters, and if my head is doing that, and everybody else's head is doing that, and somebody's asleep, I'm like, oh, there is no focus. There's what I call controlled focus. So when I see a young director, I stand in the back of the theater, and I see how the audience is taking in the work. If they're all looking the same place over 2 hours, then somebody has done a good job of, geometrically putting people where they need to be, emotionally setting the tone, moving the energy along.
What do you think the audience is going to be like when we get back up and running? Do you think this is going to affect either the types of shows that they want to see, their responses?
Who knows? Some things we don't know. So I look at the things we can control. I think just like how now I realize that I miss my grandkids, I think people are going to realize how much they miss storytelling, mm-hmm. how much they miss being in the same room with people, and how they miss going to a restaurant after a great play. So I think people are going to want that back, and hopefully we'll solve this the virus issue so we can get back to what we give to society. So I think it'll be better, because I think we'll learn something from what we have been through, and we'll probably integrate that into what we loved all before.
If you could pick, if there could only be one play written about the pandemic, only one, who would you want to write?
Oh.
And I'll give you living or dead.
Okay. Well, living, I would want Jeremy Harris, who did Slave Play, to work with my friend who wrote Inheritance.
Ah.
So I want Matthew and Jeremy to work together.
Well, that's
and just go somewhere. You know what I mean? One thing I'm not saying that I necessarily loved Slave Play, but what I did love about it, I love that writer. I loved his head. You know what I mean? And I love the way Matthew thinks. So I'm looking for artists who are thinking and who are courageous to just put it on paper. You know, and it's like my friend August Wilson used to say, when people would give him notes after a play, he would say, "Where were they when the page was blank?"
Terry Krannert asked about how you got involved with The Wiz Live, and I saw you on the set of Hairspray Live. Tell me how you've enjoyed doing those live theater experiences. We're not seeing any more of them right now.
You see a few. I mean, you said Jesus Christ Superstar, but what happened was Bob Greenblatt, who was the passion behind those live television shows, who is no longer at NBC. So he's at HBO now. So, that was his baby. And then Craig Zayden, who was Neil Maron's partner, he passed away a couple years ago. So, the live musical format sort of lost its steam, but I think it's still going to come back. I think it was the most scariest thing ever to do Wiz Live, because we did the Wiz Live after it was on The Sound of Music, and then it was Peter Pan, and then they called me to do the Wiz Live. So no one had a roadmap. No one knew how to do this. And it was scary it was scary, but it was also one of the most rewarding things ever. Derek McClain designed the set for us, and we had to figure that out. And, the first thing that people always talk about when you're developing those things is, well, what about the audience? Do we need an audience? And I always felt like the audience were the people at home. I did not want the people at home to look at other people looking at the art. I wanted to bring the art to the people at home, and wanted to treat them like they were in the theater. And hopefully if they had a good experience, then they would tell their friends to go see more live theater. And then Hairspray, Jerry Mitchell and Harvey, those guys were great. And we had 800 people on the crew for Hairspray Live. And that's when I talked to young people. I said, everybody can't be an actor. Everybody can't be a director. But if there were 800 people on the crew for Hairspray Live, that means there are 800 different jobs. Research, find out what you care about. You like costumes, you like clothes, there's a place for it. You like dealing with sign language or understanding hearing, they got a place for you. But do your research, and there's a lot more places for people to work, in front of the camera, behind the camera. And also last year I had an opportunity to do, I did Dynasty. I did a musical episode of Dynasty, which I really love. Liz, who's a star of that show, she's just really incredible. But that was exciting to me. So I like to go back and forth from stage, episodic, live musicals, You know, I did Toni Morrison's opera once upon a time. So I've done opera. I feel like I'm blessed.
Well, speaking of, that was terrific advice. And but what if Emily Barnett asked if you have any advice for a young actor of color from the Gainesville Theater Alliance wanting to audition, or just if she's not yet ready to go to one of the other 800 jobs, she wants to be an actress, what would you tell a young lady and a young lady of color to do to make it as an actress?
Call Kennedy Young's True Colors Theater Company.
Look at this.
Jamil Jude is the artistic director there. They have auditions, I think, biannually for non-equity actresses and actors. So just look up the phone number or call them at truecolorstheater.org and they can help you out.
Look at that. That is an actionable item right there. I love it. Any other tips, Kenny, on for all of us on getting through this and maintaining the incredible positive attitude that you have? And
well, I just take it from my mother. I'm not getting overly religious here, but my mom said, God is good in the troubled time and God is good in the peaceful times. It's the same God. So there are things we can learn now that we can apply to when times get better. And just think, whenever things have been bad in our lives, didn't we always get past it? So let's get past it. And let's, you know, love is strong. Love is strong. Love is strong. It's the biggest force on the planet.
I love that, and I love you. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, man.
Look forward to seeing you soon. I'll give you a call.
All right. Peace.
Peace. Bye-bye. Thanks again for listening to this very special episode of the Producer's Perspective podcast, live from the pandemic. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, do us a favor and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And hey, while you're at it, leave us a big standing ovation review, will you? And check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/Ken Davenport for more live stream interviews just like this one. Except on the Facebook page, you can actually see our faces. So check it out at facebook.com/Ken Davenport. We'll see you there. We're getting the band back together.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.